I think the one thing that prevents people from achieving success is lead generation. And to overcome it, you must have the business maturity to understand it's a daily activity on an annual plan that is ahead of everything else you do.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 38 of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Lee Woodward, the founder, CEO, and creative director at Real Estate Academy. Lee is going to share with us his successes and failures in the real estate industry, why EBUs, or effective business units, are a more efficient and sustainable way of running a real estate team, both in sales and property management, and why it's so important to put lead generation ahead of everything else that you do. But before we catch up with Lee, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants, and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
So this week I'd like to tell you about an app called Slack, spelled S-L-A-C-K. And essentially what Slack allows you to do is to create channels where your staff and people can log on to look at notifications and messages. So how this might be used in your business is if you've been sending emails out to people in the office and you see seeing all the other staff in on that email and someone replies and everyone else gets it and it goes on and on and on and the email inbox just floods up with emails that are most likely not relevant to you. Well, Slack allows you to turn all of that into a stream or a channel, they call it. And essentially what you can do is look at information that is the most relevant to you. It's available on any device, iOS or Android, or on your desktop. And you can set up channels or groups so that whenever there's a message that's going around the office, it's only going to the people that it's most relevant to. You can integrate this with Google Drive or Dropbox, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, MailChimp, all sorts of integrations that you can connect to draw in more data and add to the stream or the channel that you're using. It's free to start. You can try it out for yourself. There is limitations around the free version. It then goes up to about $6.70 per user per month billed on an annual basis. And there's enterprise versions, bigger versions that gives you more flexibility and more functionality. But it is a really great app that a lot of real estate teams are starting to use to really cut down on all the emails that are bouncing around our inboxes from day to day. So I encourage you to go and have a look at Slack at slack.com. Have a look at the videos on their homepage and go and download a free trial and get started. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Lee Woodward, founder, CEO, and creative director of Australia's largest real estate training and systems development company, Real Estate Academy. Lee has been widely acclaimed for having transformed the real estate industry, and it is his dynamic, cutting-edge business systems and career development solutions that have enabled thousands of real estate professionals to excel in their career. Today, Lee and his team continue to set the bar for training, continual improvement and systems development within our industry, giving him the title of one of Australia and New Zealand's most in-demand real estate trainers, leadership coaches and keynote speakers. Lee, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Thanks so much for joining us, Lee. I've given our listeners just a little insight, but take a minute, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of your business.
Well, real estate training happened by default. I came into real estate at a young age of 22. I did very well in my first year. I reached that top 2% of agents, which paused everyone on a question of, how did you do it? If you didn't exist a year before, you'd done all these transactions and revenues of people 10, 15 years in the industry, where did all the business come from? And that was interesting for me as well. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just speaking to as many people as I could every day. I did have a knack for reading people and getting into what I'll call extendable conversations. I think a lot of people have an initial conversation and they do the niceties, but they don't actually get into the detail or depth of what a real conversation is. Mm. And prior to coming into real estate, I was a plumber, which was a great experience. And before that, I was actually in the music industry, which I think was my real experience. When you start to work in pubs and entertainment and in the events world, you really learn to read people very fast.
And I was listening to an interview that you're doing on Hot Topics some time ago, Lee. It was quite a couple of years ago, I think, where you talked about when you, in your very early days of coming into real estate, you found the transition from coming from a service industry like the plumbing industry, that you were very good at putting together quotes. And it was something that you quickly found wasn't always the case in real estate sales.
Yeah, that was an interesting connection. Like for the plumbing firm that I worked for, very quickly they worked out, you don't seem to miss many quotes. So I ended up being the person in the van driving around, dressed nicely in a polo shirt, winning business. Then when I came into real estate, everyone would move away from giving detail. They'd want to go away and come back with a proposal versus one of the first things I ever developed for the sales industry was doing the quote pad close, where you would ask someone, would you like me to put my quote in writing? They'd say yes, and I'd start filling out the authority, explain that by signing the bottom, that would activate my services. And that groove and rhythm ended up being how I would list 12 to 15 properties a month purely by just getting to the detail versus scared to ask those questions. I think many salespeople hide from this point of rejection versus if you plow into that and make it simple, people think, oh, well, stuff it, I'll go with you.
Well, at one point in your career, Lee, you were ranked in the top 2% of agents in the country. What was the driving motivation for you to get into the training side of real estate?
It all happened by sheer accident. I was being ranked very well around the country. It was actually a fax came out one morning and I was number one in Australia, yet I didn't realise everybody else's numbers. The principal I worked for had put my numbers forward to a huge training organisation at that time that was national, and for that month I was number one in the country. And you look at the transactions and deals you were doing and don't think anything of it. But then in that same week I had a phone call from the CEO of the First National Group and said, look, we're a little bit tired of trainers. We want a practitioner to speak. Would you come out and do a workshop on listing presentations, which I did. And in that first workshop, it sold out and then they made that a national tour. And suddenly I was on the road really enjoying explaining how I do what I do on a daily basis to win business. And then from there, I ended up doing some audio. I actually did a little bit of audio that featured John McGrath on it way before Hot Topics. It was called First Interviews. And then I sort of lacked stimulation in the selling side after a while. I couldn't go any further in what I was doing. There was no opportunities of ownership or partnership, and I wouldn't have ever opened up against the principal I worked for. And that's when John McGrath knew I was available. And my first ever training assignment was for John. I went in there for 90 days and ran the team of Edgecliff on behalf of John.
That's fascinating, Lee. I know that obviously you've interviewed so many people across your career, obviously with Hot Topics and that sort of thing. Is there anyone that sticks out of one that you really enjoyed in particular?
I'd have to say John McGrath as the co-host. Him and I run such a fast-paced life, yet we'd turn up in that studio, neither of us know what was about to be recorded. We'd have a topic heading, and it comes under that theme of if you don't know now, you'll never know. But because we were both running in and out of so many situations, all those live recordings, and I've never launched The Best of John, but I will do that one day, was just on the fly magical moments, whereas quite often people over prepare for an interview and they don't quite let the raw essence go. So I'd have to say working with John in the first 5 years was groundbreaking. We actually brought a lot of things into the industry that was modern thinking in an old-fashioned industry.
Now, well, I have you to thank, Lee, for me wanting to get into podcasting. I've listened to Hot Topics ever since the very, very early days, listening to the CDs around in the car and that sort of thing. So, look, I personally want to thank you for all of that wisdom and knowledge that you've shared over the years with Hot Topics. But Lee, a term that is familiar in the industry today, made popular by yourself, is a team-based approach called effective business units, or EBUs. Some of our listeners might be familiar with that. For our listeners who aren't familiar with the term EBU, can you describe what it is and its benefits over traditional models?
An effective business unit is actually a way of retaining people in real estate that churns a lot of talent. So, for example, everyone's got different skill sets, and quite often in real estate, let's say there is three skill sets of lead generation, lead conversion, and client fulfillment. The real estate industry expects you to be really good at all three of those. And some people are cross-skilled, multi-talented to do that. Most people aren't. Yet some of the best buyer's agents can produce 15 listing opportunities a month, yet the person who can list those would never have got into those opportunities. So by blending the skill sets, you get a unit approach instead of the typical real estate industry all working as individuals. But the effective business unit model has had good and bad sides to it. I think people that didn't do well at EBUs thought it was going to be easy. They thought it was going to be a paddock and you wouldn't have to work hard. You actually have to work harder in an EBU than you ever worked by yourself, because you're letting other people down. And I think property management have done it very, very well for many years with their specialist roles. But the sales industry, unfortunately, sometimes can't get the visibility of why it would work. And an EBU is not a lead agent and two PAs. That's a different model. An effective business unit is all about leverage, where you actually realize that person is better than me in that area of the business. And this person over here is far better than both of us in that area of the business. But you bring that together, and you can't conquer the world by yourself. It's an exciting and more fun way of conducting your time in real estate.
Do you find at all, Lee, that anyone shifts those positions around when they get that EBU up and running? Do they tend to shift and change those positions among the staff over time? Do they change?
They do, and quite often the wrong mix happens in the initial stages. People recruit and put people in roles because they like them versus they're best suited for that role. And over a period of time, we've seen good buyer's agents become better listers because they are so used to converting on the streets that they become very confident in the lounge rooms, and that other person may need a break from the lounge rooms. They're getting a bit stale, they're saying the same things, and they're not getting the breakthroughs that they were.
Now, I tend to see that a lot in the United States, Lee. A lot of companies that we've worked with over in the States have run essentially what is an EBU in some form. But have you seen offices adapt to this terminology in property management as well? You mentioned task-based property management there for a minute, but have you seen anyone adopt the EBU model to its core in the property management space?
I have, but in more of a full unit approach. So the business development managers are great listers, and that's their key focus. What is missing in property management, and probably my interest in Bradbell, is having a blended lead generation prospecting program. And I think when that's engaged, it brings in a very different flavor to what the business could do versus just looking after the process of real estate.
What would your tip be for anyone wanting to, if they're not already using or if they haven't got an EBU in their business at the moment, what's the best place to start in terms of incorporating an all of business model that you've alluded to that the guys at Bradbell Real Estate, for example, are using in their business, Lee?
From the sales perspective, the first thing you've got to do is not hire an administration PA. An admin PA is a cost center and it's a luxury, whereas the real estate business should be able to leverage the business administration side of processing real estate. And we see an agent think, no, I want to do the greatest job in the world. I'm going to hire this person and we're going to do the best letters. We're going to get the best things out there. And they end up going backwards because now they're paying so much money out in what was already happening versus a leverage agent who's a buyer manager and actually generating opportunities that turn into cash is a significant different decision. And you could actually be an EB2 very well. It's only when you get to certain volumes, like 2.5 the volume of a single agent, that you could bring in that third person who would now be contributing to the administration side, because there's so much administration when you're doing that volume and you can run the risk of losing advocates because the office team can no longer give you that level of service you need. But most EBUs form their structure way before their volume, and they could be doing way more by themselves. And it's a luxury than it is an a necessity.
You mentioned before some of the downsides of it, Lee. Well, I'm curious to know, I'm sure our listeners are as well, what are some of the downsides to it?
A downside to an EBU is the pay structure is misunderstood, and that causes friction between the members. And then you have one member that doesn't want to work as hard as the other member but expects a significant return. So, for example, you might have someone who wasn't the greatest lister and they've come into the EBU, yet they still get a chance at a couple of their leads that were friends or established clients, and I still want to look after those ones. Well, you can't. Everything you do now belongs to the unit. You can't pick and choose your times of what you will do and won't do. When you work as a unit, it's our business now versus your lead, my lead. And I think if you don't get the rules of relationship right, that can cause enormous drama.
Mm. No, I think it's a fascinating model, and we've seen it adopted. In my experience in property management, Lee, I've seen the EBU model mostly of late be implemented in a lot of property management departments, which is really exciting to see. Where's the best place to start in a property management business, do you think, for our listeners who are running a property management business as well from the EBU perspective?
Well, I think you don't need to look at it any differently. The more I investigate the property management and the more I remove the old thinking, real estate is just about people, property, and activity. So even in that workflow of these are the tasks that need doing, and a task is listing presentations, a task is prospecting. But for the three of us, if we worked as a benchmark individually, what were we doing and what are we doing now as a unit, how would we disperse the workflow to that three of us is equaling five of us versus individually what we could do? But removing the walls of property management and sales is really about the administration and the words process. I think we'll see a day where an agent, well, I'll share this with you. The first EBU model I had actually had four people in it, but I couldn't get anyone to do that, where we had administration, a buyer's agent who did buyers and tenant leasing, and then the lister would list for both. And then the fourth person was a true property manager. So the property manager managed the property. The administration did administration for sales and PM. The buyer's agent showed tenants and buyers, and the lister listed. And I think an EBU4 is a great pod model because that listing agent on a sales level has great words that can often help with rent reductions. They can help in repairing a relationship, whereas quite often it gets too fragmented and you don't get that essence of quality that the person I'm speaking to really understands me.
Yeah, I think it's a big mistake made in so many businesses around, not only here in Australia, but the more you travel abroad, I think it's a bit of an issue across the globe, really, Lee, when it comes to property management and sales, that traditional thinking of property management sits over there, sales sit over there, and they talk to each other whenever they need to refer a lead or something like that. But essentially what an EBU model really allows for is tearing down those walls, doesn't it?
It does. And even at Real Estate Academy here, we've got five separate businesses that all operate under the Academy banner, but administration is done by a unit across all five businesses. They don't say, oh, but I'm not in the magazine team, I don't have to do that. Oh, I'm not in the events team. No, it's client administration. It's not about the island it's on. It's about this people we need to serve. And as soon as you remove those walls, you've got that cross-training effect then that, you know, in most property management businesses today, the property manager leaves or goes, there's this horrendous hole in the business that everyone panics to fill versus Sarah's been doing that work, just bring her into the unit now. Oh, but I've never been trained in this. That was the error. Cross-training is mandatory.
And you mentioned the word leverage before, Lee, and a word that we use quite regularly in the marketing space is capacity or capacity planning when working with virtual assistants and that sort of thing is, you know, how much of your time is being spent on the non-dollar productive activities or what you're not good at and how can you fill the cup, of someone else's cup with tasks that, they're much better at. And essentially what you're referring to with the EBU model allows for that.
Very much so, but also the career progression. Like the world's right. going crazy on outsourcing, but outsourcing can be great, but it's also detached. Whereas some of the great property managers I know were receptionists first, and anyone who was brought in to be the seasoned property manager didn't seem to stay or work out. So I think we still have an internal onboarding need to be creating the next property managers versus just thinking the ones we've got now will stay or we'll replace them with an experienced person.
Well, Lee, I want to now turn the spotlight onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded in your real estate career. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story in your journey? Take us there with you of a moment in your career where you felt like you'd failed. Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
I felt I failed really early in real estate when I was doing nothing but prospecting but wasn't breaking through. And I was being taught to do it a certain and old-fashioned way. And every day, 6-7 hours on the phone, gathering data, getting nowhere and realizing maybe it's me. I'm not breaking through. I thought I would. And it wasn't until I realized what I was doing was standard, but no one ever actually works that way anymore and got my own thinking around it that I had the breakthrough. But in those first few months, I actually quit in those first 3 months. I'd actually done an enormous amount of work to get an appraisal. And that appraisal we went down to see. However, the agent that went out with me completely blew it in the way of he was nowhere near prepared. The lady was ready to sell. He had a lack of skill in the actual presentation side and we lost that piece of business. So he did all that sweat and labor and I quit because I felt the real estate industry was an absolute phony and all this stuff I heard just wasn't the real thing.
What advice would you have for younger real estate agents getting into the industry today who are feeling like all the work they're doing just isn't having an effect?
I think they've got to understand the timeline. It takes 12 to 18 months before, one, you know what you're doing, and two, people understand your name is now part of the community. And I think everyone has an expectation that in the first 2 months, I'm going to list and sell all these properties and I'm going to be earning really good income. And they have this fake and false belief that that's the way it is. And then after that first 2 months, they actually think they're failing, whereas really you're just in the process of getting to where you need to be. So any quick sales or quick listings you do achieve, they're a bonus, but it takes 12 to 18 months to settle and find your groove. But what you do need to do in that time is make sure you're working on at least 5 ways of generating business that will stick with you throughout your career.
Yeah. Well, Lee, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment in your career where you felt like the formula that you had in place was the right way to go about growing a real estate business? And again, take us there with you to a moment that stands out. What happened? What was going through your mind? And how did that make you feel?
I think a major breakthrough for me was when I realized buyer management was one-to-one prospecting. I could never work out why everyone was avoiding it. Nobody wanted to do it. No one would show property midweek. And I started doing the opposite of what I was being told because what I was being told wasn't working. And I started not just doing one or two buyer appointments. I ended up doing 26 buyer appointments a week. Wow. I would start filling my calendar, my diary with these face-to-face appointments. And then it was natural that 5 or 6 appraisals would pop up out of those because I was face-to-face with people that were moving. But when I worked out, it was 26, and that would give me my groove, and I was just out all day face-to-face. And everyone was thinking, you're crazy, we're meant to be finding sellers. But when I worked out the buyer-seller, when I worked out the questioning that would allow me to understand them as a human being, and then they would – well, the breakthrough is this. I didn't get indoors. I got invited indoors. That's the difference. I think anyone can get in a door over a period of time. But when someone says, Lee, would you have some time to come and see our place? That was the moment. And I knew I was onto something because nobody else was interested in doing it. And it was an important breakthrough, but also one that no one followed. Everyone was just very old-fashioned in their thinking around the purchasing process.
You mentioned there once you'd figured out the questions. What are some of those questions?
the property you're in now, are you going to hang on to that one? Or, and they would finish the conversation saying, oh, we need to sell it, but we just want to find something first. Mm. Well, the property you're in now, what doesn't it have that the new one would have to have? Mm. And they would explain they don't have double garaging and so forth. Then I'd ask a volume question. I'd say, the house you're in now, is it the right volume for you? And they'd say, what do you mean by that? Well, if we filled it with water, it would take so many litres. Do you need a bigger volume home? It's not just its location. Mm. And once I had that clear picture of, or clearer picture of what they were trying to achieve, I'd ask this final key question. I'd say, Josh, I could save you a lot of time showing you houses that you do not like by understanding what you have. Mm. By having a look at what you've got, I'll actually know what not to show you, because it's not a big enough improvement based on what you're telling me. And sure enough, you get into some of these houses and they were better than the ones we were showing them. And that was a real moment where I thought, if I could just see what they've got, I'd be able to help them further. And they would like that you're taking an interest not to come to my house to appraise it, but to investigate it so that we can find the destination that they were looking for.
Thanks so much for sharing that. I think it's a challenge for many people in real estate that there is a little bit too much hype sometimes, isn't there, and not enough help?
Very much so. And I think we're all coming so fake with our questions and our email marketing that we're not having real conversations.
Yeah.
And ask, you know, if all the properties were free, which one would you take? Which property have you seen so far with any agent that really made you want to buy it no matter what price? And why did you want to buy it? I think getting into that emotion selling is lacking in a lot of the sales conversations.
Lee, something that I know you're quite passionate about is scripts and dialogues. And very much in recent years, you hear comments around the industry saying scripts and dialogues are dead, or, you know, it takes away from the human element of speaking to people. What would you say to people thinking scripts and dialogues are not really worth their time?
Scripts and dialogues have been wonderful. They teach you certain words to get into certain scenarios. I think what's happened today, though, is scripts and dialogues are an older way of looking at it. I think they've been important, but the change now is you've got to use words and concepts. So there's a certain concept that you understand, but you get it across a certain way versus remembering all the words like the robot. People look at that and think, yeah, that sounded a little bit like you've been rehearsing it. But I think you need to rehearse it in order to feel more natural about it. Mm. So scripts and dialogues will always be there, but words and concepts is having that more natural chat with someone versus a scripted conversation.
Take us to today, Lee. What are you working on right now that's getting you guys fired up there at the Academy?
I'm on an enormous project called the Complete Company Prospecting and Connective Marketing Program. So the double CD was finished this morning in editing. That's been going on for about 4 weeks.
Fantastic.
So that's been done, but that's also now connected to the project plan that I'm writing, so that a business owner and its team can actually come together and master lead generation instead of all trying to do it individually and not getting the results they need. Mm.
And for our listeners who haven't had the opportunity to spend some time down there at the Academy, Lee, can you describe what it's like there? I've had the pleasure myself of coming down there to visit you. And can you describe what the Academy looks like down there in East Gosford?
Yeah, the Academy's got many rooms. The room I'm in now, which is the one you sat in, is our shipping container converted into a recording studio called Studio One. We've just had a brand new room built next to us, which is our new technology room where people are coming to visit and look at the technology, especially with web books and complete data and all the things we've got going on with technology. Then the Academy itself is a very open plan, simple building, all branded so that we can remember the things we're actually working on. And then probably 80% of the actual space we have is a car park. There's about 18 people work at Real Estate Academy, and parking's everything. So, yeah, that's Real Estate Academy.
Fantastic, Lee. Well, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from our real estate industry social media survey, where we interviewed real estate agents from around the country to find out how they are using social media to market their business. We found that 43% of real estate professionals do not regularly analyze their social media marketing activities. Social media is a marketing channel just like your traditional means of marketing. And if you are measuring your sales ratios and effectiveness of those other marketing channels, social media should really be no different. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Lee, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Rod Jones, my principal, for being a selling leader rather than just being a real estate salesperson.
Lee, what is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Walk and CrossFit.
Lee, what is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
I would say Think and Grow Rich due to its storyline version of how it all worked.
What is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
Webbooks is my web-based technology. I use it for project management, proposals, and communications.
And for our listeners who aren't familiar with how Webbooks works, Lee, do you want to give them a little bit of an insight?
Yeah, Webbooks is a piece of technology designed for people who aren't good with technology but need really good-looking designs. And a webbook allows you to have video, audio, images, text, links, documents, all in one link. So if I'm packaging up a training program or a massive proposal, I just get to send one link out and the person on the other end needs no technology, no apps or downloads. They can just click it on any device and actually go through that professional communication.
So for real estate agents, they might use it in their pre-listing kits, for example, and other applications like that?
Pre-listing kits, proposals in property management, we're onboarding tenants with it.
Right.
So the full videos, the body corporate bylaws, the actual authority and agreements are all strapped into this one communication system.
Fantastic. Lee, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think the one thing that prevents people from achieving success is lead generation. And to overcome it, you must have the business maturity to understand it's a daily activity on an annual plan that is ahead of everything else you do.
Lee, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
My favorite success quote is, if it's to be, it's up to me. And I think everyone's searching for something else or some app or some bit of technology or someone else to motivate them and move them. Yet that quote says it all. I was actually asked this question the other day. They said, if you had to say two things to your success of why you've been able to achieve so much over the time frame, what would it be? I believe in two things. One is the law of effort. The more effort you put in, the better you go. And the other one is the law of contribution. The more you contribute to something, that's where the returns come back in ways you could never describe. And the yeses we've had on projects when someone says, oh, you don't know me at all, but I listened to a Hot Topics audio or I attended the Complete Salesperson course once or I rang up and you gave this advice. Those two things, the law of effort and the law of contribution, are a guaranteed way to break through.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Lee has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Lee Woodward. Well, Lee, on behalf of our listeners, I'd really like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about the Real Estate Academy?
You can call Real Estate Academy on 1-300-367-412 or just visit our sites. Most popular site for sales would be thecompletesalespersoncourse.com.au or realestateacademy.com.au.
Lee, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.